Today on Real Radio.
Isn't that wonderful? That old man must have handed Jesus back to Joseph and Mary and went home and couldn't wait to die and enter into the presence of the Lord. Why? He had seen the salvation of God.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher delivers a presentation that focuses on the all-important holiday we're celebrating this week. It's an entire series called The Jesus of Christmas. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, continuing in this series with the presentation called The Jesus of Christmas Future. He who is to come.
Doesn't take Einstein to figure out that he came to Israel, his first coming. He came to Jerusalem, his first coming. And he came to the Temple Mount in his first coming. The second coming of Jesus Christ, it's what the book of Zechariah speaks about. The book of Jeremiah speaks about. It's what the book of Daniel is about. Jesus Christ and his second coming. His second coming is very much like his first coming. It's to the nation Israel. Get ready. It's though he will not be riding on the back of a donkey this time. He'll be riding on the back of a great white steed, and he will ride into, from the heavens above, he will ride into a city that goes by the name of
Jerusalem.
You're so smart. It's wonderful. And the Bible says that he'll come. And by the way, it says in Revelation 19, we will come with him and that he will establish his kingdom. Why? He came the first time to the nation of Israel. He'll come the second time to the nation of Israel. And as it was in the first time, every eye saw him, so to speak. Well, in the second coming, every eye will see him, the Bible declares, as Christ returns from heaven to earth. And in between, nestled in between those events that are about 2,000 years apart, apparently, first and second coming, is a Gentile affair, is a Gentile event, predominantly meaning this, that Christ, in the rapture of the church, it's not a first coming Jewish event. It's not a second coming Jewish event. It is a Gentile event, predominantly referred to as the rapture of the church. Christ will not come to earth at that time, but he will rather, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, down to verse 18, he will come in the atmosphere. And he will receive the church unto himself. And then, of course, fulfilling John 14, 1, 2, and 3, that we will be dwelling in the Father's house where there are many mansions, remember, dwelling places. And Jesus said, if it were not so, I would have told you. I go now to prepare a place for you that where I am, there you may be also. That is a reference, John 14, 1, 2, and 3, to the rapture of the church. Jesus Christ, the Christ of Christmas future. Well, number one, his coming, again, demands anticipation. If you're a Christian today, we're referring to it as the rapture. Excited, wonderful. His coming, again, demands anticipation three ways. Number one, they of that time, by the way, understood from the scriptures what was written. Many people longed by reading the scriptures to know that the coming of Christ was drawing near. They would have had to have read Daniel and Jeremiah, and the Old Testament announced that Christ would come. I bring that up because even back then, the coming of the Lord to Jerusalem was something anticipated. You say, Pastor, where's that in the Bible? Well, I can pick on one guy who was very, very astute regarding scripture. His name was Simeon. Anybody remember him in the Christmas story? Simeon was a very, very neat guy. I want to meet him someday. Simeon was very old, and you could just kind of see him. He's amazing. He's just kind of motoring around, you know, the temple all the time, old man. And he hoped for the coming of the Lord. Hoping, hoping, hoping. And like a lot of old guys, they're just kind of hunched over and they're kind of mumbling about stuff. You got to pay attention to old guys that are mumbling about stuff because maybe they're mumbling about something that we need to pay attention to. And Simeon's walking around and he's mumbling about the coming of the Lord, no doubt. He was excited. How do we know know that? Because the Bible says that when Jesus came, Simeon picks him up. When Joseph and Mary brings him to the temple, Simeon picks him up and he begins to say those tremendously insightful and prophetic words. He holds up the child and he says something like this. I paraphrase it. He says, this child is destined for the rise and for the fall of many in Israel. In other words, Jesus put it this way. If I be lifted up, that is to the cross, all men will be drawn unto me. Meaning every human will have to consider me when I'm put on the cross. Prophetic statement of Christ. Simeon first echoed those words when he said, this child is for the rise and fall of many in Jerusalem, many in Israel. We could honestly say today, many in the world, this child speaks about the rise and fall, those who will come to know him and those who will not at Christmas and at any other time of life. Jesus Christ is the focal point of it all. And so as he held up that child, he also said, now, Lord, let thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Isn't that wonderful? That old man must have handed Jesus back to Joseph and Mary and went home and couldn't wait to die and enter into the presence of the Lord. Why? He had seen the salvation of God. A wonderful anticipation. His coming then and now anticipates our excitement about it. Look, I'm wearing a suit today, anticipating rain. Because I celebrate rain. If you're visiting for the first time, what's he wearing a suit for? I thought he wears Hawaiian shirts or something like that. I normally do, but I thought it was going to be raining because I love the rain. I celebrate the rain because it never rains around here. And when it does, it's something to be thankful for. Well, in the same token, I'm anticipating the rain. As Christians, we're to be anticipating his coming. How so? Knowing what's written in the Bible. Over and over again, time does not allow us to go through the New Testament scriptures alone that says things like this. Watch, be ready, anticipate, be looking, be longing for his imminent return. That's exciting to me. Number two, the people of that day, and you and I need to be discerning the days in which you and I live in. Discerning the days. The word discerning means to be scrutinizing the days, looking at the world around us. You know, fabric. I mean, I don't know fabric, but maybe you know fabric. There's people that they touch fabric and they can tell you all kinds of things about fabric. They're feeling this. On our footsteps of Paul cruise to Greece, we wound up stopping in Ephesus in Turkey. And they, you know, Turkish carpets, I guess they're like the best in the world. Based upon the price, they better be the best in the world that they had there. These things, they, by the way, this place made them for all the kings and princes of Saudi Arabia and for Saddam Hussein when he was in power at that time and the king of Jordan. They make all this stuff and it's world renowned. And these guys, they're experts in the fabrics. They're talking, they're touching, and they're going, oh, this and that, and this comes from this kind of sheep, and they knew that. This kind of silk and this kind of worm, and okay, big deal. To them, it's everything. They can touch the fabric and know. Maybe you can go outside and you can feel. It's like this morning. When we got here this morning, it was a lot warmer than it is now outside. Isn't that weird? The weather changed since we got here. It got colder as the day's gone longer. Interesting. What's happening? There's a change in the weather. Jesus said, listen, Jesus said, you hypocrites. I mean, not you. The Pharisees of his day, the religious people of his day, they were so bound up in their religion that they couldn't discern the time in which they lived. And Jesus says, you know what you guys do? You go out and you look at the sky. Did you look at the sky this morning, anybody? Was it, what color was it? Did you see it turn red and then pink and peach and purple and all that weird kind of awesome color, sherbet looking? Jesus says, you look at the sky and you can discern what kind of day it's going to be. You know that old saying, red sky in the morning, sailor take warning. Why? What does a red sky mean? You can't have a red sky without clouds. Clouds indicate approaching moisture or storm. So the sailor looks out and he says, you know what? We better be careful. It's a red sky. Red sky. Red sky in the morning. Sailor take warning. Jesus said to the Pharisees, you look and you say it's going to be this kind of day. And then in the evening, you say, you know, red sky at night, a sailor's delight. What does that mean? Well, the storm now, the sun is setting, and the clouds have passed. And the clouds that indicate the red sky in the west means the clouds have passed you, and the weather's now behind you. Jesus says, you religious people, you can discern the days and the weather, but you can't even discern the times in which you live. And many people in this life are running back and forth, doing all this stuff, going crazy, shopping nuts, running over people. When they unlock the door at the stores, people running over the poor guy that unlocks the door. And you know, now they've developed automatic door opening at Christmas time, Christmas shopping. Why? Because the guy unlocking the door was getting run over. Forgetting in such a haste, what's Christmas all about? Worship. What kind of day did you have yesterday? I hope you had a good day. You know what? I can tell I worshiped the Lord all day yesterday because I was in my pajamas all day yesterday. That is a rare day for me. That was wonderful. Didn't have to go anywhere. Vegged out. Resting in the Lord, you know? Well, listen, it's an important thing as we learn from the people of Jesus' time that many of them, not all, sad to say, but many of them discerned the days in which they lived. And church, you and I need to look around and look at the tremendous antichrist spirit that's out there. You think that's an accident? No, it's the plan of God. Everybody's upset about Jesus. That's the plan of God. Everybody's anti-Christian. That is the Lord working. It's the end days. Do you and I not live in the days when the Bible says before he returns that men will call good things evil and evil things good? Did you know that all this stuff you're seeing, this nudity on TV and the foul language on radio, that's okay. That's a freedom of expression. That is our constitutional right. But you know what? Again, Christ at Christmas, worshiping the Lord publicly, that's not right. That's offensive. Do we not live in times that the Bible warned about? Are they not going to get worse? Yes, I don't mean that to bum you out. As a Christian, you should say, yeah, that's right. And we discern the times and be encouraged. While everybody else is panicking, we don't need to panic. We can praise. Big difference. Because we're discerning the days in which we live. Are you discerning the days in which you live? Look around. Take time. Another thing under this point that his coming again demands our anticipation is that they back then, as we should now, they longed for something better. They longed for something better. They looked around at all the wealth that the Roman Empire was to bring to them, and it didn't happen. Israel was under tyranny, occupation. They looked around and they saw the emptiness of their world, their lives. They saw the emptiness of their own soul. There's something about approaching the light that exposes things that we normally wouldn't see. When you come into the light, you take your Christmas picture, and you realize, especially as you get older, you realize how important the lighting is. And then if you have a good photographer like we had, can you remove all those wrinkles? You know, can you make my nose smaller or my nose bigger? You know, my eyes smaller, my eyes bigger. Can you put hey, can you pump up my biceps in that Christmas photo? I mean, what do you do? Hey, can you make me taller? Can you give me an extra foot? You know, nowadays they can put things into a computer and make you into something that you're not, you know. It all depends on the light you're in. Man, as Christians, we come into the light of the Lord and we see, oh, our great need for the Lord. And at the same time, we see, oh, man, I need Jesus. And right before we're panicking with how much we need Christ, Christ comes in and says, I am your light. I am the one that covers you. I am your life. And we're excited about that. They longed for something better. We long for something better. And the greatest thing that you and I can give our children and to give our husbands and our wives is Jesus. The greatest thing that we can give our own lives at a time like this is Jesus. They longed for something better. God in life, listen, church, God in life has engineered that nothing in this world would bring satisfaction. Please hear me on that. Because look, it's the day after Christmas. Did you get what you wanted? Yes, I did, Pastor. Okay, good. That's fine. But did it fulfill all your needs? No. Or if you're thinking this morning, yeah, it did. Just wait till the batteries wear out. Or it gets dented. Or it starts to rust. Nothing lasts of this world. That's why we're not to love it. Because if we love things of this world, when the batteries run out, our love is dashed. Everything wears out. Look, I think there's an evil, evil spirit out there. How do I know? Because 12 months ago, we bought a brand new General Electric refrigerator. How do I know it was 12 months ago? Because on Christmas Day, the refrigerator broke. Yesterday. How do I know? Everything in there is warm, very, very warm, and starting to take on a personality all of its own. Look to the little warranty thing. I think there's a chip built into the refrigerator. Because we bought it earlier in the month of December. And so what happens? During this month of December, a year later, the thing gets possessed and breaks down. Why? Because it's made of this world. It can't fulfill even the promise it made. I promise to chill and cool things and be your refrigerator for 15 years, like your old one that you shouldn't have got rid of. Buy the new one, it's computerized, and it does this and it does that. Don't fall for it, people. Especially this time of the year, the year-end closeout of all these new hot cars that if you get that car, you will be something. And if you listen to the commercials, we're all lacking if we don't go get that thing. It won't bring fulfillment. It doesn't work that way. The point is we long for something better, and what we can give both ourselves and to those around us, and frankly, I believe this, if we're a Christian, God grants us the power to change the world that we come in contact with. I believe that. I really believe that. I really believe that by the time we die, by the time I die, it would have been the Lord's will that I make an impact in the world that He's allowed me to influence. Don't you think so? I think so for your life and mine. Because we long for something better, God fulfills us. Second point this morning is this. His coming again requires preparations. His coming again not only demands anticipation, but His coming again requires preparations. Number one, preparations this way. When the Bible says here in Revelation 1:8 that He is the one who is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, the one who is, the one who was, the one who is to come, the Almighty. His coming again requires preparation, and we make this preparation to cause our hearts to be open. Now listen to this, causing our hearts to be open. Many times the Christian at Christmas and at any other time of the year is labeled as somebody who's closed-minded and closed-hearted and is void of wisdom. The truth of the matter is, my friend, the Jesus Christ of Christmas future, His coming again requires preparation to be made in our hearts. And it's this way, that our hearts be open. It's God who says, open your heart. The world would say to us, your heart is closed. You know what? Listen, maybe you're like me. My heart was wide open to anything and everything before I became a Christian. When I became a Christian, I became so satisfied that I need not any longer hang a sign out in front of my chest, so to speak, declaring that I'm searching, open, longing, hoping, lusting, scamming, manipulating. A sign was hung on my heart, now basically saying no vacancy. Jesus Christ had moved into my life. Now, I'm just speaking from personal experience. When He moved into my life, things changed instantly. Some things are still changing now. And they'll continue to change until I see Him face to face. But church or friend visiting this morning, listen, the truth of the matter is this. When your heart is open to the Lord, it's closed to everything else. That doesn't matter. And so people will get upset with you. Oh, come on, do this or do that. I mean, I could do that. You know, St. Francis of Assisi? You know what he said? He said, love God and do as you please. Billy Graham said many years ago, I can choose to do anything I want from this moment on that I'm a Christian. Anything I want at all, I can choose to do. But now I choose Christ. When St. Francis of Assisi said, love God and live as you please, people who don't know who God is says, that's a weird statement. A legalist, a self-righteous person says, that's risky. People who are Christians know, that's exactly right on. Love God and live as you please. Because if you love God, what you want to do in life both blesses you and pleases God, and it's a wonderful combo. To live in the light of Jesus' return means that we make preparations, that we make room in our hearts for Jesus Christ. Have you ever made room in the inn, so to speak, in your life? Have you said, Lord, come on in here at this Christmas season. Lord, come into my home, my heart, Christ home. Come in. Another thing is this. Not only to cause our hearts to be open, we need to make preparations as a people, as a Christian, as a church. Maybe this morning you're not a Christian. You need to open your heart. Listen, you need to also cause your mind to be thinking. Now, I love this. And if you've been around this church at any period of time, you know that I'm very big on Christians thinking. That's important to me. I think it's important to God. Did not God give you a brain? The greatest scientists that have laid the foundations of modern day science, they were either Christian or Jewish in their faith. Did you know that? Newton, who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Lord and Savior. You look at scientists like Kepler, the father of astronomy, Bernoulli, and the Bernoulli principle or dynamic of flow dynamics. You look at some of these men who loved Jesus Christ, and you look at a man who later on in his life at least made touch with his and confessed that he believed according to his Jewish roots, and that is a man by the name of Albert Einstein. Einstein said something that drives you and I crazy. We don't realize it. I don't know, some of you, how many of you just stink at math? Just a few of us? Oh, that's great then. It doesn't matter. If Einstein was in the room right now, I don't care who you are, he'd make you look like you stink in math. Okay, you know what Einstein said? Einstein, who mastered math, Einstein, at the end of his life, said, I know that God exists based upon the evidence he's left, the evidence of math, because math, mathematics, is perfect.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called The Jesus of Christmas Future, He Who Is to Come. A look at the true meaning and historicity of the holiday we're celebrating this week. Of course, on Monday's edition of Real Radio, we'll resume our series in Ephesians 4 called United in the Gifts. And if you'd like to hear it again, here's some good news. It's now available on MP3 CD. In addition, we're including R.A. Torrey's book, The Baptism with the Holy Spirit. Our offer? For your tax-deductible contribution to the ongoing work of Real Radio of any amount, we'll send them your way. Remember, this includes Jack's series, United in the Gifts, on MP3 CD and R.A. Torrey's classic book, The Baptism with the Holy Spirit. There's more than one way to get in touch. You can visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org, or call us toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO, or send in your tax-deductible contribution to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Once again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ. and in His Word.
Inside, You shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.